you boys.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Look, NSYNC didn't give their fans as many albums as the Backstreet Boys did, but the three they put out were pop perfection, okay? Tight harmonies, catchy choruses, iconic music videos full of dance moves.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Well, just think about what a 2015 NSYNC would look like. It would look pretty great. I would certainly pay to watch Joey Fatone
you
and
wouldn't
Lance,
pay to
Lance,
watch Joey Fatone
and Lance
do
Bass, J.C. Chavez, Chris
Nobody
Kirkpatrick.
Knows where J.C. Chavez or
and
Chris
of course, how about Justin Timberlake?
There we go.
Well, that's the first time I had to mention
you
him, isn't
think
it?
That's the big Trump card.
Well, it kind of is.
You know
it
what?
Kinda
you
is.
Know what the 2018 NSYNC would look like? The same thing that the 1999 NSYNC looked like, which is Justin Timberlake with a bunch of losers.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
Hey, I'm Cody. Hey, sexy back. You ever heard of sexy back?
Tearing up my heart.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. Cody McClure, collision course. Oh, it happens right now, baby. Yeah.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Drake was a hot topic of conversation yesterday with Mike Budenholzer of the Bucks, their head coach.
Ooh, I didn't think you'd be able to pronounce Budenholzer. No shade.
I mean, it's not hard to sound it out.
Okay, tough guy, my bad.
It's only four syllables.
Whatever. Just give me your headline, sorry.
It's not that difficult. Anyway, he's not happy about Drake's antics on the court. Budenholzer said there's certainly no place for fans or whatever Drake is for the Raptors on the court. There's boundaries and lines for a reason. Get the hell behind them. That last part I just threw in there. But he's not happy about Drake on the court. He believes Drake is causing too much attention away from the game, and he needs to sit down and know his place.
Have you noticed him on the sidelines? You said you watched the game.
I did.
Him rubbing the Toronto coach's shoulders, I think, was the point where I was like, okay, this is
enough, Drake.
This is absurd.
Why do they give him so much power?
Toronto doesn't have any celebrity fans, man. He's the only one they got. He works for them. He's an ambassador for them. I think the idea is that other NBA players will think Drake is cool and they might be willing to play there. I wonder what Raptors fans think of him. You think they still like him, or you're like, okay, Jake, chill out?
They probably like him, okay.
Yeah. Plus, I guess he's the new Spike Lee. He's Toronto's Spike Lee.
Yeah, and they're Canadian, and I think Canadians, for the most part, like people. They're friendly people.
That seems to check out.
Yeah. The Knicks, when they traded Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavericks in late January, it kind of came out of nowhere.
Wow, look at all this NBA talk from Cody.
Yeah, a lot of people...
NBA talk goes down when John's not here.
John hasn't said anything about it. This is all Cody right here.
Yeah, a lot of people assumed that the Knicks' motivation in that deal was clearing enough cap space to put them in position to sign two max free agents. But according to Knicks president Steve Mills, there was more to the story. Apparently, Porzingis demanded a trade from New York. He was threatening to return to Europe. Porzingis came to us, and point blank, he said to us, "I don't want to be here. I'm not going to re-sign with the Knicks, and I'm going to give you 7 days to trade me, or I'm going to Europe."
Yeah, I mean, he basically told them, and he even said it when he got to the Mavericks. Remember we talked about him taking the qualifying offer? He's like, "I want out of here so bad, I am signing a qualifying offer for $4 million, then I'll be an unrestricted free agent, and you'll get nothing for me. Trade me." I think all things considered, New York got a pretty good return for Porzingis. Now, it seems like they traded him pretty much out of nowhere. Some people were mad that the Knicks didn't do more of their due diligence and call more teams, right, and get the best trade package they could get. Because I do think they could have gotten better offers than what they got from Dallas, but I think Dallas... I think Dallas did pretty okay. I mean, depending on what you think of Dennis Smith Jr., I'm still a Dennis Smith Jr. because of a Dennis Smith Jr. fan because of his tweets about slinging that big old piece of wood in his pants. I still root for him. Got a first round pick on top of it. We'll see.
It's a good reason to root for somebody. Yeah, he said the trade talks began as soon as Porzingis walked out of the office. Said as soon as he came in there and demanded to trade him and he walked out, they started making calls.
Got the first acceptable answer and like, okay, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. Cavs owner Dan Gilbert was asked this week about LeBron James. The longtime Cavs owner was frank when he was asked to define life with LeBron. He said, with LeBron, there was a limited shelf life in terms of his age and his contract commitment. It's a win now at all costs. It all revolves around the sun, which is him. He continued, whatever pressure comes with it, it worked out. We won a title. Dan Gilbert said, it all revolves around the sun, and the sun is LeBron. So he didn't really do anything to silence the narrative that that they could never get along.
LeBron's the boss wherever he goes. I mean, that's just kind of what you sign up for. I think the Lakers are finding that out the hard way. They thought that the Lakers brand was bigger than LeBron. Nah.
The NFL has announced the two AFC cities that will host the draft in 2021 and 2023. The 2021 draft will be in Cleveland. The 2023 draft, Kansas City. Those don't seem like great draft cities in terms of the party. I think Nashville set that bar pretty high. I mean, Cleveland might be okay, but Kansas City seems like a really weird place to have a draft.
Say that one more time. What did you say about Kansas City?
The draft in 2021 and 2023 for the AFC sites will be in Cleveland and Kansas City.
I didn't see the Kansas City one. All I saw was Cleveland. Cleveland's 2021. That'll be, I guess, not this upcoming year, but next. Where is it at this upcoming year? Does it say?
This next year?
Yeah. You didn't say that where that's it.
No, these are for the two AFC cities. So this year will be an NFC city, right?
Okay.
So it'll be...
is it Chicago? Am I making that up? Is Chicago or they just come from... We're in Chicago, right?
Going back to Chicago. It's Vegas.
Vegas?
Vegas. Yeah, that's going to be a party.
That's an AFC city too, ain't it?
Yeah, I guess it would be. 2020...
It's in Vegas in 2020?
Yep. Vegas.
Oh, man.
Cleveland 21.
That'll be fun.
To be determined in 22 and 23, Kansas City. Kansas City just seems like an awful place for the draft.
Yeah. I don't feel like we should just be rewarding everyone with the draft. I feel like you have to bring something to the table. I went to Kansas City. It doesn't deserve the draft.
I'm really intrigued to see how Vegas stacks up against Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a city that can out-party this past draft, Vegas, you know, going to be interesting to see it there.
I'm trying to think of what they'll do, though, because they obviously aren't going to shut down the Strip. You know what I mean? Like, they obviously aren't going to do that the same way that Nashville did, right? Nashville shut down Broadway. I mean, you don't really drive on Broadway anyways, I get that, but the Strip you drive on. So it's like they're going to build a big-ass stage there. Where's it going to be at in Vegas would be my question.
I don't know.
Just like where the stadium's being built over there somewhere? I don't know.
Bellagio.
Seems like Vegas is too big of a city to have this in.
I mean, it seems pretty awesome to have it on the Strip if they can find a way to do it.
Maybe not too big of a city. Maybe that's not the right way to say that. Maybe it's already too big of a party to try to interrupt that. Like, Nashville had a perfect setup. You could put it at the end of Broadway.
Because you have the river back.
Yeah, you have the river back there. So, like, no one really, you know, that for the most part, you don't drive on that area of town anyways.
Ain't no rivers in Vegas.
No.
Not that I know of.
I mean, the way I'm picturing Vegas right now is, like I said, it's going to be almost impossible.
Strip.
Yeah.
It's a flat strip.
It's going to be almost impossible to put it right there in the center of the party.
You could close a portion of the strip off, couldn't you? Maybe at one end of it, kind of. I mean, I know it's a very long strip,
I don't think you could. I mean, there's
It's an actual road that goes through.
But four-lane road on each side. Like, it's a four-lane on the right side, four-lane on the left side type of deal.
Good detour, everyone.
That seems like a disaster.
Yeah, it does. I don't know where they're planning to put it.
Okay, we'll see. I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Yeah. But, yeah, so Cleveland, I guess that could work okay. They could back it up to Lake Michigan. Is that Lake Michigan? One of the lakes there, right? Cleveland's on a lake. Can't remember which lake. Could be Lake Erie. I'm really not sure which lake.
Lake Ohio? Wouldn't it not just be Lake Ohio?
I don't think so. Tiger has entered next week's Memorial Tournament. Probably in the state of Ohio.
Cleveland's in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's not a great lake. Can you name all the Great Lakes?
Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin. Is there a Lake Minnesota? Manitoba. Yeah.
That's not one of them.
And then Erie. Yeah, there's a phone.
Can you name all of them?
I just did.
I mean, really, though? The real ones?
Can you?
I know I can name four.
There are five Great Lakes. Huron, Erie, Superior. Mm-hmm. Is there a Lake Michigan?
Yep, those are the four I knew. I can't think of that fifth one. Ontario.
Yeah, dude, I thought I said, did I not say that?
You said Manitoba.
Well, that was a joke. This is when I was actually naming the four.
No, you said Huron, Superior, Erie, Michigan, and Lake Ontario.
Ontario, yeah. I believe that's correct. Any more headlines?
Tiger has entered next week's Memorial Tournament.
Oh, good for Tiger. Don't care. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Did you listen to the morning show and they were talking about their snail $1 million thing?
Yeah, that was their last segment of the day, so I did catch that.
I like another hypothetical question I've seen floating around the internet more.
What's that?
Would you accept $5 million if it meant the person you hated more than anything received $10 million?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah? Do you have anybody you just have hatred for burning?
Not really.
Okay.
I think you could just cut that one off at, would you accept $5 million? Okay. Do you hate anyone enough that you wouldn't?
There's been a time in my life that answer would be yes. I don't know if I have any real mortal enemies right now, though. I feel like I've been trying to live a better life.
I can't think of anyone that I truly hate.
That's good. No hate in your heart. That's good. It's a good sign.
There's hate in my heart. No one person that I hate. You know what I mean?
Generally hate everybody?
No. I just don't have one general, you know, I don't have one big rival or anything.
Okay. Well, never mind. Guess we don't like that.
And Nick Saban's already getting $10 million, so... I mean, he would
be. Is this
be,
where you act like you hate Nick Saban?
He'd be the one guy I could think of.
Crimson Cody trying to act like he hates Nick Saban, which, by the way, I meant to add that to that whole Dante Culpepper thing. Dante Culpepper is the reason Nick Saban went back to Alabama. Whenever we're talking about Dante Culpepper?
Yes.
He's the reason that Nick Saban decided the Dolphins and the NFL just was not for him.
I thought it was Drew Brees' fault.
Well, Drew Brees didn't get cleared to go there.
Right, but had he, then things probably would have been different.
Well, right, but I mean, Dante Culpepper was there. Culpepper was his quarterback, and if Dante Culpepper had played to the level that everyone thought Dante Culpepper was going to play to, then, I mean, the same type of line of thinking, right? Obviously, we know Drew Brees is good, but Dante Culpepper used to be good.
He's good enough to have a book written about him that I read in sixth grade.
There you go.
So,
Marshall / UCF's own. Dante Culpepper, who sort of looks like Byron Leftwich.
Dante Leftwich.
If he would have been good, he would have, you know, also kept Nick Saban with the Dolphins.
Amazing how things changed.
Butterfly effect and all that. You want to get to the beef talk now?
I suppose it's a good time for it.
Have you been keeping up at all with Kevin Durant and Chris Broussard?
Yeah, Kevin Durant basically telling him, you don't even have my number.
Chris Broussard says, look, this is Kevin Durant's worst nightmare coming to, you know, fruition. We're going to have to put asterisks next to Kevin Durant's first two titles. Basically, like, you weren't the reason they won this title. Basically, the Warriors being 5-0 in the playoffs has kind of given everyone ammunition that said, hey, Durant's not that important to the Warriors. Obviously, him being out now hasn't slowed them down. They've actually been better. Chris Broussard was like, this is the worst thing that could happen to Kevin Durant. So Kevin Durant went very meta, went very literal, was just like, really the worst thing that could happen to me? He went that with the Instagram comments. Like, this is the worst thing that could happen to me in my life, really? The worst?
Of all the things that could possibly happen.
Yeah, just immediately went there, like, hey, there's bigger things to life.
I could be in a plane crash tomorrow.
Yeah, could lose my leg, something happened to my mom, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, immediately went there and tried to make Chris Broussard feel like a jerk. Later, Chris Broussard went on TV and said, look, me and Durant have kind of a, I wouldn't call it a love-hate relationship or whatever, but we don't really get along, but we talk. He's like, we've talked for hours. We've texted for hours. That was the mistake he made, was he said, we've texted for hours about basketball, life, my criticism of him, just things like that. Like, we've talked before. We've texted. To which Kevin Durant quote-tweeted and was like, bro, you don't have my number.
It's a weird thing to go on TV and brag about.
Cam, can you explain the phrase cap to me? Like, when someone says, like, you're capping, like, I understand the thought process of it. You are basically exaggerating. You are kind of lying, misrepresenting.
Yeah.
Where does that come from, the phrase cap?
It's
like, no capping. Cap is the way he phrased it. Like, you know, you're basically pretending.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's just.
I hate to go ask a black guy here, but it sounds like you don't know either. All right,
I mean, I don't know the exact.
All right, cut the mic off, Cam. Yeah. Terrible drop in by you.
Cam's like, yeah.
You're supposed to keep. Do you know Ben better than like what we kind of stumbled around saying? Do you? Here's your chance to shine. No, I mean, I got you.
I like how I'm the third option.
I have you two here to keep me young, and you both have failed miserably. So thank you.
I mean, cap just kind of popped up. Like, I never even saw anything, like, derived from it.
That's how I felt. But I was also confused. I was like, maybe I'm, you know, losing touch.
I just started hearing it in songs, like, no cap.
Yeah,
which means, like, I'm just, like, I'm not playing.
Is it?
I think it might have to refer to a gun, honestly.
Right, so, yeah, when you say no cap, that means, hey, I'm being serious. When you're saying cap, that means you're playing. Okay, but they spell it C-A-P, so it wouldn't be calling Kaepernick.
I honestly think it has something to do with a gun.
No cap.
No cap means that they're not lying or capping like they did something.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we just said.
We already said that much.
Yeah, that's what Urban Dictionary
says. We've got that. Okay, never mind. Anyways.
Originally a kneecap.
Okay.
The phrase bust a cap originated in Northern Ireland several years before entering urban gangster culture.
Yeah, but busting a cap. Busting a cap in this scenario doesn't seem like cap, because if you're busting a cap, that probably means you're telling the truth, keeping it real, and they're saying no cap means that. So, no, I'm going to say that one doesn't relate.
It's simply to lie or say something false.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I understand that. Anyways, Durant said cap. He said that Chris Broussard was capping, basically. Said, you don't have my phone number, bro. We've never texted. Which was a call of basically questioning Chris Broussard's credibility, right? Chris Broussard's on TV saying, hey, me and this guy, we text, and Kevin Durant's like, no, we don't. You don't have my number. Like, that's a pretty big call of that's a pretty big criticism, right? That's a questioning of a credibility.
It's like when Brian Williams, the evening news anchor, said he was jumping out of the helicopters with the soldiers.
I don't think it's that drastic, but it's similar.
It's kind of that embarrassing, though.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean,
to just be called on something completely false.
Well, then Chris Broussard's like, look, I understand Maybe I misspoke in saying we texted. We've DM'd each other. Chris Broussard's an old man, right? I mean, we think of him as a little bit younger and hipper, but I mean, I think Chris Broussard's like in his late 40s, early 50s. He's been around forever. So I think him calling that texting, he probably was like, hey, I talked to him on my phone. I misspoke. So it felt a little disingenuous that Durant would go there.
Either way, text was exchanged.
Well, I don't know. Because
according to him.
If we're just looking at the semantics of this, if you say you're DMing someone versus texting, like, I think we all agree that texting kind of signifies a closer relationship, right? Texting implies you have my phone number, that you can call me, that we are at least, I don't want to say friends, but that we are at least past the point of acquaintance.
Yeah, you got to start in the DMs to get to the text.
Usually.
Right.
In this day and age. So, I mean, if I said me and you were texting, that implies, that'd be like, yeah, it makes sense. John and Cody are texting. They're friends. They have each other's numbers.
It's still weird to me to brag about that, though, to go up, go on TV and, yeah, we text about this.
It was.
I'm cool. I text with Kevin
Durant.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, like, Chris Broussard came out of this looking like a sucker, which he usually almost always does. Like, Chris Broussard is very rarely on the right side of things, it feels like. But he was just trying to say, look, me and Durant don't have real beef. We've talked before. But he messed up and said, yeah, we texted. To which Durant's like, bro, you don't have my number. We're not cool like that. So, like, I see both sides of it. Like, if I was running around telling somebody that I was texting someone that I just, like, exchanged some messages on the internet with, that does have a different implication to it, at least with our generation. I don't know if Chris Broussard was trying to misrepresent things. I think in his mind, he was probably just saying, well, we've communicated on my phone. But Durant calling him out seemed a little, I don't know, was it just another line of Durant being a jerk, or is it a good clarification to say, no, you don't have my number, we don't text? Or is he just being a little bit too petty here?
Seems like Durant's being petty. I mean, that's what he's known for.
Yeah.
Just being a baby.
Yeah.
It's kind of what it seems like, all up in his feelings, you know.
What do we feel about Durant just being sensitive like that? On one hand, I think he has every right to judge him or to defend himself and to not like being judged constantly. On the other hand, it's kind of just like, dude, you make a lot of money. You are at the very apex of your craft, right? You know what I mean? Like, if you're not the best player in the league, everyone kind of acknowledges you are one of the three best players, right? I don't think anyone has a real clear standing on who the best player in the league is right now. It feels like that changes every week.
And if someone, I think though, if you're building a team, like if you got to take one guy right now, Durant's the guy that you take. I think you take him over LeBron right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wasn't even counting LeBron in there. I'm just talking about Durant, Kawhi, and Giannis. Like, I feel like those are the three best players in the league right now. Now, maybe once Durant left the Warriors, maybe Curry makes it a four-person conversation. But either way, like I said, I don't want to say Durant's the best player in the league because I don't know if he is. But I do feel like he is very firmly in the top three. He is at the apex of his craft. He is there. He is out the mountaintop.
He's a back-to-back finals MVP.
He is a back-to-back finals MVP. He has two championships, which, look, Kevin Durant probably thought, hey, if I go there and I win championships, this is all going to be worth it. If I go there and I win finals MVPs, like Cody said, two of them, people are going to have to give me my respect. People are going to have to give me my credit. And that hasn't happened because you have someone like Chris Broussard saying, yeah, this is really going to diminish his two rings. He's going to look like he was just a latcher on.
I don't know why he's so sensitive. Maybe it fuels him.
Maybe it's a generational soft thing. Like, look, I don't like when people talk bad about me either. For the most part, I will, you know, respond and clap back a little bit. Sometimes I just go straight mute or block and just kind of ignore it. But I don't like seeing negative things about me either.
Nobody does.
Right. So, I mean, I understand that from the human aspect of Kevin Durant, right? Of like, hey, man, it gets old to have people call you a snake or diminish everything you've done. And, you know, they people light him up on the internet pretty good.
Yeah, but if you're Kevin Durant, you just ignore it.
Should you be above it?
You should ignore it.
I mean, because yes. LeBron did the same thing in 2010? 2011, I guess, when they lost the finals and he came out and called everybody broke.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't do it on Twitter. Like, Kevin Durant's gone to it more like, and it's even more embarrassing for him because he was so sensitive, but he was trying to act like he wasn't sensitive. But then we found out he had all the fake burner accounts where he would just argue with people on his behalf while not letting people know they were his thoughts.
Which, I mean, what a waste of time.
Yeah.
What a complete waste of time.
Like, that's the really weird part of it, is that, you know, you do it with burner accounts. So I will say, at least Kevin Durant's now putting his name to it, just, which we're not really happy with either, because we're like, dude, spend your time doing something else.
Yeah, just go dunk some basketballs, man. You're one of the greatest athletes in the world. Like, you should. Who cares what they say about you? You're Kevin Durant. Like, if I'm Kevin Durant, I could not care less what those people say about me. I'm going in the gym. I'm doing my thing. Doing what makes me so good.
It really feels like Kevin Durant is just a miserable person.
Think he's not happy?
I mean, I don't think if... I don't know. Like I said, I think he should have every... I think he should have every reason to be really confident and secure in what he does. But I also think that you want praise and accolation, right? Like, you want to be told how great you are. Like, if you flash back to the 2017 finals, was that the first year he was there, right? When basically he went toe-to-toe with LeBron and Kyrie, and Durant won that series. Like, he looked better than LeBron James there. Like, he outplayed him. He was hitting deep shots. Like, he stole that game three from them in Cleveland with, like, a 35-footer with a minute left to take that lead. Like, Durant put that game on ice. He put that series on ice. And I think he thought in his head, this is going to be the passing of the torch. Everyone's going to love me. This is my league now. And then we're all just kind of like, eh. Yeah, you're cool, Durant, but do it somewhere besides Golden State. And I don't want to say he's getting bullied to going to the Knicks, because I don't think that's it. But it seems like he's kind of getting bullied off of Golden State. Although now, it seems like Golden State doesn't even want him around. Like, I don't think there's a coincidence that he leaves and Steph Curry goes back to 2015-2016 Steph Curry. To the point where apparently Steph Curry has been wearing his sneakers from 2015. That Houston Game 6, they say that Steph Curry was wearing 2015 Curries. Basically, like, as a big middle finger to Durant. Like, you're gone now, alien. It's my time to be good again. Remember this, guys, when I just ran around and shot threes and made all of them? Yeah, this Curry gets to come back. Obviously, you've seen Draymond Green become a top 20 player again. Now, some of it is, some of it is Draymond Green lost 20 pounds and got in shape. He was overweight this season. He lost shape. And now if you see Draymond, he looks cut. Like, Draymond looks ready to go. And Draymond said, hey, I was talking and complaining too much. You know, maybe I need to focus more on my game. And it's also the playoffs when good players go to another level. But then there's also that part of Draymond where he's like, I already told this guy he can go to hell. We don't need him. Like, they got in a fight over this year where he basically said, we don't need you, Kevin. We won before you, we'll win without you. And now they got a chance to prove that, and I don't think there's a coincidence that him and Curry are playing the best basketball they've played in a long, long time. I don't even think his own teammates like him.
Does anybody like him?
I don't know. And that has to be a lonely feeling. Like, I don't know. And some of it's Kevin Durant's fault by being sensitive and by pushing people away. But at the same time, if you're so great and you've gone there and you've won two finals MVPs and you've helped bring these fans championships, like, do you not remember last year when they got the rings? They basically, the owner said something to the effect of, sorry, Kevin, you've only been here for two of them. We don't judge you the same as Curry. It's essentially what he said. I'll see if I can find the exact quote, but the own owner and GM were like, yeah, your rings don't really count the same, Kevin. You weren't here when we built this.
He said that to him?
Essentially. Like, that's not verbatim.
Not
but,
in those words.
Yeah.
I thought somebody, like, had asked him, like, at the thing, like, about giving him, like, a max contract or something. And he was like, nah, that's for the people that have been here.
A lifetime deal or something like that.
Is he married?
Durant?
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to say he's been with the same woman for a long time, a WNBA player, but at the same time, there's all those tweets about how he said he wants to drink Scarlett Johansson's bathwater.
That's a weird thing to say.
How he's like, Amber Rose, we're both bald. You're still cute. So I don't know. All right, let me see here.
If he could get him a good woman, you know.
Monday, Warriors general manager Bob Myers, the man who assembled the roster, said the team will do whatever it takes to bring back KD. Said he could have whatever he wants. during the championship parade in Oakland Tuesday. However, Myers backtracked from that statement with mic in hand. He casually roasted Durant, saying his free agency situation is different from that of Steph Curry. That was just for the media, Myers said of his statement. He can't have anything mid-level. And on Steph, well, yeah, that was different. He's been here for the run for the way from the way before days. Basically just saying, yeah, we love Curry a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been there.
Apparently Durant's gotten engaged before, but apparently it broke off.
Okay.
He needs to find him a queen.
Somebody smooth that thing out for him.
Yeah, I mean.
Help him settle down.
That's all he needs.
Take the edge off.
I mean, he's got everything you could possibly want.
He's probably mad at Colin Jost, too, for getting engaged to Scarlett Johansson. Like, he's probably extra salty about that, too. If you say you're going to drink somebody's bathwater, that means you are dedicated.
The quote at the end of this article says, yeah, it's been over for Cass and KD. Apparently, he's into everybody.
Okay. KD's just big horny online.
Does he not realize that there are soapy?
He's just out here bagging it.
That bathwater is full of suds, like soap. You know?
I think that's the statement. Well, I don't. Maybe it's just like the filth off of her body in the water.
When you really think about it, it's a weird thing to say.
I think that's a level of dedication. Now, sure, if the soap and shampoo are in there, it's a little bit different. But like I'm assuming he's saying like, "Hey, she's been sweating all day. She gets
drink
in the bath.
Your sweat."
Yeah, I think that's.
He's essentially saying, "I want to drink your sweat. I want to lick the filth off your body."
That's how much he loves Scarlett Johansson.
That's what he's saying.
So it has to suck that she gets engaged to nerd Colin Jost. Like, he's probably extra agitated this week. Chris Broussard might be taking the brunt of his frustration out from Scarlett Johansson no longer being on the market. Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's why he's so upset this week.
Cam is very upset in the studio.
Do I?
Cam's in the same situation when it comes to Scarlett Johansson, I guess.
Oh, really? Yeah.
She's in the Marvel movies. Cam's frustrated, too. Yeah. But you don't see him lashing out at Chris Broussard.
No, Cam hasn't said one bad thing this
week
about Chris.
You don't see him picking on a 50-year-old man that probably doesn't realize that texting and DMing are different?
That's because Cam's a good man.
Cam is a good man. Kevin Durant's not.
He's happy with himself. Kevin Durant, not. I don't know how you could not be happy if you're Kevin Durant.
I think we all want praise, though. We all want people to love us, right?
I don't know. Does he not get enough being a great NBA player? Does he not have enough fans, people who really like him?
Haters are louder, man. I don't know many people who consider themselves KD fans anymore.
I mean, they're out there.
They are, but I don't know many of them. Like,
there's all kinds of frat guys wearing Durant jerseys at Wing Wednesday. I mean, they're all over the place.
Warriors or Thunder's Durant? I feel like they're wearing Thunder Durant.
Probably, maybe both. I mean, there's all kinds of KD fans.
I know there's a big LeBron hive. Like, LeBron's got a fan base.
Whether they're fans or not, I mean, it just the money. You know, the money, is that not enough? The great genetics, I don't know. They say money doesn't make you happy. I feel like Kevin Durant money would make me happy, but maybe not.
I understand the human aspect of it, of wanting to be praised. Of wanting to feel secure, to feel like you are doing something good.
Maybe he didn't receive enough attention from his father.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, he's talked about his mom raising him. Like,
that's probably got a lot to do with his...
I feel it's kind of...
his state.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah. That has a big impact.
I don't know. Maybe.
I would think that's what it all stems from.
If you want to psychoanalyze him, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Was his father present in his life?
No, I don't think so.
Well, there you go. He craves attention.
It's got deep on. It's got deep there, huh?
So now, I mean, it's simple psychology. I mean, it's a well-known thing.
Well, should we dislike him then if he's really just... trying to fill
he's
a void.
He's reaching out to fill a void in his heart.
That, you know, he unfairly got left with as a kid. Like, that seems like we should be sympathizing with him, not laughing. And
it's just hard when he goes after Chris Broussard like that, you know? just lashes out at Chris Broussard in anger. Maybe he should just give Chris Broussard his number.
Just reach out and who knows, maybe Chris Broussard could
be his father.
At least a mentor, maybe?
Yeah.
Talking like, hey, look, man. Maybe have a Robin Williams moment with him and saying it's not his fault.
Maybe he viewed Chris Broussard as a father figure.
I don't think that happened.
Does Durant have a father figure in his life?
Yeah, but he died, actually, I think. Oh. Yeah. Like, I think there was a whole, like...
This got dark.
I want to say there was, like, a whole E60 thing. Like, his high school coach was kind of that guy, and I think he got... I want to say he got, like, murdered.
Murdered?
Yeah. Oh, that's got awkward.
Magic's out there. He's always... I mean, he likes to be a mentor to guys.
It's true, and he's no longer employed by the Lakers, so he could be.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Durant, I'm sure him and Magic have each other's numbers.
Probably not. I don't think Durant likes Magic, to be honest.
I mean, he could get Magic's number if he, you know, he could call him up and say, hey, Dad, or hey, Magic, you know, see if, I don't know.
Yeah, this is from, yeah, 2017 is when the article was written, but yeah, Charles Craig, a coach and mentor to Kevin Durant, was shot dead in 2005. I thought I remember that story. Yeah, this took a weird turn when you started trying to psychoanalyze him. I don't think you're qualified for this. Sometimes you start poking around in somebody's mind, you don't like what you find, you know?
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
I mean, it is sad. He just wants someone to tell him it's not his fault.
Meanwhile, Steph and Draymond just keep laughing at him.
Steph and Draymond are like, this guy's hurt good. I'm tired of playing with this jerk. Stay on the bench. Like, don't even come to the games, bro. We don't need you. We don't need you.
Get out of here, you whine, you crybaby.
Yeah. I mean, like.
Oh, crybaby. Yeah. Kevin didn't have a father figure growing up.
You know, I mean, he sees Del Curry in all the games. Like, yeah. It probably does hurt.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, this has turned dark.
Yes, it has, but I think maybe it has something to do with
it. I don't think it does.
Yes, it does.
I think he just wants to be loved. I think it's a societal, generational thing. We want to be told when we do good. And he's got his own GM and owner saying, yeah, we don't love you like that, man. We love Curry. This is Curry's team.
But deep down, that's got something to do with it.
He had that in Oklahoma City, and it did, you know, like it wasn't that. He was a golden child in Oklahoma City. Westbrook was the outcast.
They were filling the void for him.
But he left it. Like, it wasn't that.
It was his decision.
That your theory makes me uncomfortable.
It's not an uncomfortable theory.
Your theory makes me uncomfortable.
It's been proven in a lot of different cases.
Like what?
Your father not being present in your childhood a lot of times leads to you craving more attention as an adult.
I feel like this is the only thing you're basing this off of are women with daddy issues. I think that's the only thing.
It's the same for boys, too. You can't tell me that does not have an impact.
I don't know if it has an impact with Kevin Durant. Does it still happen when you turn like 30?
I think deep down, all that stuff is way down inside.
So you think Kevin Durant lashes out at fans and the media because his dad?
You're telling me just because a guy's an NBA player, if he grows up with two parents, same household, everything's normal, good middle class family, his adulthood, his psyche mentally is not going to be a little bit different than the guy who didn't have his father around? Like, it's significantly different. It makes you a different kind of person. Many scholars would agree with me on this. I think he's still trying to fill that void.
Okay, I guess, whatever.
Strong, you could swim inside it. We could
back on the program. And that was Talking Therapy with John and Cody. Where do you want to go now, Cody? You want to get to just this Michigan hire? As Michigan goes back, did you talk about this yesterday? I feel like the news broke later. Michigan getting their basketball coach. Oh, it happened when you were on the air.
I don't know if he had officially been hired. I think Cam told us he had been hired.
Okay.
Was it official at that point? It wasn't official. Cam mentioned it briefly in headlines.
Thoughts on Juwan Howard getting the job in Michigan? At Michigan?
I think it's
in the state of Michigan. Ann Arbor. Wolverines. Go blue.
I think it's a good hire. I think it's Penny Hardaway was the first thing that came to mind for me. Bringing back a former guy who was a player, well-known player, part of the Fab Five, obviously. I think that that bringing him back should give you an edge in recruiting. Maybe I think he can relate to younger players better, being a former NBA player.
Seems like all these colleges are going this route now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like, I mean, obviously you've had Penny Hardaway this in this state.
It's worked well for Penny so far.
Jerry Stackhouse, who had no real ties to Vanderbilt. Didn't work with Chris Mullin at all. Chris Mullin got fired at St. John's or stepped down at St. John's. It did not work with him. He was not able to restore, you know, what they wanted him to restore. Patrick Ewing at Georgetown hasn't really gotten them on track yet. We'll see. Like, I mean, he had a little bit tougher of a job. It's a little bit tougher at Georgetown to win. But, I mean, he's heading into, I believe, year three. They'll be looking at him to make the tournament this year.
Throw Avery Johnson in there as an NBA guy. Didn't work out at Alabama.
Yeah, so I mean, Avery Johnson was obviously an NBA head coach. He made the finals with Dallas in 2006. He was pretty good in Brooklyn / New Jersey before Darren Williams got him fired. We'd have to say he did not work at Alabama, right?
No, he did not. He got fired.
Penny Hardaway so far, obviously 1 year, no big success, but coming back with a number one recruiting class in the country. So far at Georgetown, Patrick Ewing is 34-29. He's won 54% of his games, obviously yet to make a tournament. Now, I will say that the big difference here is that Vanderbilt was in trouble when they hired Jerry Stackhouse. We haven't seen, you know, what he's done at all. He hasn't coached a game. Memphis, in trouble when they hired Penny Hardaway. Alabama, in trouble.
Fired their coach.
Yeah, not a dire situation, but, you know, fired their coach. Mm-hmm. Same as Georgetown. Same as St. John's. Whereas Juwan Howard is taking over a program that's been successful the last decade.
And that probably makes the pressure higher for Juwan Howard.
So you think it makes it higher? Yes, I would agree with the pressure. But I will say it also makes the chance for success greater. I gotta imagine
he's starting with a better set of cards.
And I'm imagining that Juwan Howard is going to keep most of John Beilein's staff. They really liked the staff that was there. I'm imagining he's not bringing in a completely new staff at this point, because he's an NBA guy, right? He's been in the NBA for coaching / playing since LeBron got in Miami. He was kind of the end of the bench guy. He was LeBron's kind of guy. They had him around. They liked him. Afterwards, he stayed there as an assistant coach. And, you know, he interviewed for the Lakers job. They wanted to, LeBron wanted to hire him for the Lakers job. They didn't do it. He ends up going home to Michigan. You can look at it from the point of view that this kind of helps officially reunite the Fab Five. Honor the Fab Five era. They've kind of tried to get away from that. Now they're leaning into it, saying, yeah, let's embrace who we are. But also, like, they hired a guy who has a cosign from the best basketball player the last 15 years. They're hiring a guy who was representative of their best era of basketball. or maybe not the best era of basketball, but the most exciting era of basketball. That Fab Five team didn't win a national championship, so I can't call them the best, you know, era of them, but the funnest probably.
They're still remembered more fondly than the national championship teams, though.
Pop culture-wise, yes. Like
in Michigan lore.
Yeah, pop culture-wise, yes. I mean, now, there's, you know, Michigan went out of their way and went ahead and pulled down the banners and tried to get ahead of the NCAA whenever the Chris Webber stuff happened. We don't know if Juwan Howard can coach in college. We don't know if he can recruit. That's why I assume he's going to keep most of Beilein's staff. I don't know if Juwan Howard moves the needle in terms of NBA star. I kind of just think of Juwan Howard as a career role player in the NBA. Maybe that's not accurate. Maybe he was better than I remember, but I don't think of him as an NBA star.
I think they'll recognize his NBA connections, his prowess, I guess, though. The kids that he's recruiting, you know, they're going to know who he is.
Yeah, I mean, he was better than I thought. I mean, he was an 18-point game scorer for seven of his careers in Washington. 17.8 points per game in Denver. So, I mean, yeah, he could score.
Those Michigan fans are used to winning, though. You know, he's. I think it makes it tougher for him, even though, like you said, he starts with a better deck of cards, you could say.
Yeah, he has a head start on all the people we named. Like, Memphis didn't really have anything. Vandy, you know, lost Darius Garland. Like, they don't have much either. Like, none of these guys have been starting with as good of a roster and as good of a track record as Michigan's had.
He starts on third base, you could say.
I'll call it second.
Second base. But I think that really intensifies the pressure.
Okay. That's one way to look at it. I mean, I think if you're Juwan Howard, you would rather have the pressure and have a head start of having a good program rather than trying to start from scratch. Because, I mean, all those guys have pressure. Like, Chris Mullin has pressure. Like, Patrick Ewing still has pressure just in year three. Which they're not going to fire Juwan Howard in year one or year two. Like, that's not going to happen. He'll get a fair shake. He has, you know, obviously big ties to the school. He's respected. But still, like, he's going to have to win. Same as, I mean, Georgetown will fire Patrick Ewing this year if he goes around 500 again.
Yeah, and, you know, Memphis, they're expecting a big tournament run this year with the kind of roster they're going to have. If
Penny Hardaway finds himself on the bubble again or losing in the first or second round, like, they're probably going to be disappointed with him too.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be good enough. So you'd probably rather start where Juwan Howard is starting, even though Michigan fans are used to winning at a really, really high level.
It's cool to see all these other guys come home. I do kind of enjoy that. Maybe this has always kind of happened, but hasn't recently, but now all these big-time players who go on and are good to great in the NBA, fans, you know, dream of the day of them coming back to lead the program. It seems like more and more people are doing that. Maybe it's because the money in college athletics is so big now that these guys are getting paid enough money to justify it. Obviously, it's tougher to get an NBA job, a head coaching job, than it is a college head coaching job. And, you know, Michigan hired Juwan Howard because he does represent a era that they want to get back to, right? A fun, or actually not even get back to it. They just want to, I guess, celebrate that era. They remember Juwan Howard finally. Like, yeah, they're happy with where they're at now. They're winning. They've been to, what, two championship games the last six, 7 years?
Yeah.
So it's not like they even want to get back to somewhere. They just think of Juwan Howard positively. I don't think Juwan Howard gets this job, though, if he wasn't a Michigan player, right? Is that fair to say?
No, probably not. I mean, that connection obviously is, you know, that makes – he's got the tie to Michigan.
If you are a Michigan basketball fan today, are you happy?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy. I mean, I'm not disappointed.
Are you confident that he's going to win? I do bet that there are a group of Michigan fans who are like, man, we should have hired somebody who's really good at coaching college basketball.
Yeah, but being –
We could have thrown more money at Billy Donovan. We could have hired someone like that.
I mean, if I'm a Michigan fan, I'm probably saying it sucks that Beilein is gone. You know, he did really good things here. but I think you're more the success, I think, helps you be more accepting of the next guy, as long as it's not just some guy coming in who you think is going to be a complete failure. I don't think anybody thinks that about Juwan Howard, do they?
I don't know. I mean, he's an assistant coach in Miami. He gets credit for them, for their defense. He was their defensive coordinator. Miami typically plays good defense. He learned under Eric Spoelstra, who people think of as a top 7 or 8 coach. The Pat Riley organization, obviously. I mean, like, Miami is thought of fondly in basketball. But, I mean, guy still doesn't have any college basketball experience. You know what I mean?
It's definitely,
it is a different. It's. I don't think you can make the case that it's a similar game. It's basketball, but the college ranks are very different. The skill level, drastically different in college basketball than the NBA.
It is a 180 from Beeline. You look at the two guys, who they are as coaches, kind of coaches. It's about as 180 as you can get.
I don't even know if you can say that because we don't know anything about this guy. I mean, like I said, I know that he is a defensive-minded coach. That's what he's been doing in Miami. You'll assume he'll be like more like a player's coach, I guess. Like maybe bring that from the NBA, which kids might like.
That's what I'm thinking. Where Beeline seems more of like the old teacher. You know what I mean?
He does. I just feel like if Tennessee was in this situation, like just say football, and like if I mean,
would this be T. Martin?
I mean, kind of, right? I mean, T. Martin has yet to get a head coaching job. I mean,
I wouldn't have been happy about that.
He was a coordinator. I mean, I guess he got fired as a coordinator, which maybe makes it a little bit different. But, I mean, even when he was thought of as good offensive coordinator, right? Like, even say if you just removed him from the one Darnold year, if all of a sudden Tennessee was like, yeah, now he's our head coach, wouldn't we look at this as like, what the hell are we doing?
Well, I mean, we did hire a coordinator. Do we have more trust in Bama Pruitt than we would have T? I mean, I think Pruitt has proven a lot more as a coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, I think – so I would say yes by default, like I said. You know,
even though he's a Bama guy.
Like I said, I mean, I would just say I don't know how I would feel if I was a Michigan fan. I would say there's a good portion of them are like, man, we just hired this guy because he used to play here 27 years ago.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps that, yeah.
We're Michigan. Like, our basketball program's been really good. Shouldn't we go out and hire a big-time coach?
We kind of did this with the Lady Vols.
We did.
Yeah.
Now, granted, there's all politics with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. With all that stuff.
Wanting a woman to coach the Lady Vols. And
sure.
Tennessee is very proud of their program and wants to keep it kind of in-house. That's just what, you know, since we've been alive, since many people have been alive, that's what the Lady, I mean, I guess really since the basketball program started, right? I mean, Patton started the program, basically,
never,
right?
Never has been a man involved with it.
Right. Well, I mean, it's all been people with the Lady Vol heritage.
Yeah.
Michigan obviously has shown they'll go outside of it when they hired Beeline. See how it works. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. We'll turn left. We'll play this or that. Stick with us.